Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Monday to all of you. Today's show being brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdys have served this valley for decades. I don't care whether it's personal insurance, commercial business, whatever it happens to be, they have the professionals available that will find you the right price, the right insurance, fit your budget, and make sure you're covered. Customer service is the name of their game. It was great to see the Purdy Insurance family with us last Monday out at Penn's Tavern. We thank them so much for all the years they've been with us. This is, of course, the fifth season of the show. And we have a lot of fun coming up on the show this week. Otto Bolden's going to join us, by the way, on Wednesday, who did track and field at the Olympics. I know the Olympics are now, you know, it's 8 days out. And when we have Otto Bolden on, it's going to be 10 days out from the Olympics. But we have an opportunity to get a guest like that, a guest of quality like Otto Bolden, you do it. I think that's really important to do that. And so Sean lined it up, got it all set, and we will have him on Wednesday. Today, we're going to give you a veritable cornucopia of football talk. In a few moments, we'll be joined by Jordan Rodriguez of the Center Daily Times. Then we're going to have Tony Knopp, CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. And then it'll be Jack Ham at 4:06 today. My broadcast partner, Jack Ham, will join us. Jack, I've been able to see every practice. Jack has seen probably half of them. So we'll give you a read of what we've been able to see. That'll be at 4:06. And then Frank Bodani of the York Daily Record will be in the final half hour of today's show. So, I mean, we have a lot going on today, and we're going to keep it moving for you along the way. Of course, we'll have our, you know, this day in sports history, the sports bozo, and so forth. And yes, on Friday I gave you the sports bozo, but it was not, you know, I said it wasn't a bozo. It was just an entertaining fact about the sheep on the field at Medlar Field, Lebronto Park. It made ESPN. I didn't see it. Jevin Stone from the Penn State football team, who's in charge of video. Jev, in fact, was the video coordinator of the year for Penn State football. Sent me a text on Saturday morning, and he says, "You're on ESPN on the funny highlights." I said, "Are you kidding me? Really?" And so, yeah, it made the cut. Well, it's something you don't see every day, for goodness sakes. You don't see that every day. You just don't. It was wild. Fun to be a part of. Coming up, Jordan Rodriguez, Center Daily Times. Next, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
If you're not insured with the Purdy Insurance Agency, you may not be getting the most out of your insurance coverage. Locally owned and family operated for over 90 years, the experienced team at Purdy will compare your rates and coverage among a number of nationally recognized insurers to make sure you're getting the most out of your insurance dollars. And once you join the Purdy family of customers, you'll experience service and claims handling that's second to none. Call 1-800-677-2478 to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Coming up next half hour, Tony Knopp, CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. Next hour, 1 hour from now, Jack Ham will join us to preview Penn State football. Final half hour, Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. But now we bring in Jordan Rodrigue, outstanding reporter for the Center Daily Times. Jordan, first of all, welcome. In the limited opportunities that the media has had, what has stuck out to you so far during the course of this?
Well, a lot of things. Thanks, Steve, for asking a good question. So they're shuffling a lot on the offensive line, which, as we know, the team goes as the line goes. A little bit less so in a spread like this, but it's still crucial to the success of the team. So they're shuffling around, and what I've been really interested to see is some of the freshmen getting first-team reps. Michael Mennett and Connor McGovern have gotten a couple first-team reps at both left tackle and at guard on the right side. And so I've been really interested to watch that. I am of the camp that does not believe that freshman offensive linemen are – ready necessarily to play their first year, but I definitely think that there's promising futures there ahead of those guys. And also Andrew Nelson moving over to the right again instead of staying at the left, and it sounds like Brendan Mahan is getting the lion's share of snaps at the position. But that's really what I've been looking at, because I feel a lot of the other positions, their depth charts and their depth in general is pretty much situated at this point.
Any thoughts on the defensive side of the ball, Jordan?
Yeah, so I noticed a couple of linebackers. We didn't really get a chance to see many of these linebackers in action, and they're pretty thin in that unit in general, as we know. It sounds like, and according to we saw the broadcast of Big Ten Network, it sounds like a couple of them are even a little bit banged up through the fall and a little bit limited, but the ones that we have seen, there's no shortage of effort there. I'm just not sure what their rotation might look like. I think they're really going to rely on Manny Bowen and Jake Cooper, the young guys, to really step up, especially Manny Bowen, because he'll have to rotate in and out quite frequently with Brandon Bell this season. And I've heard really good things about this newcomer, Tyrell Chavis. I heard that he grabbed a pick, and it would have been a pick six, but they were in a scrimmage, so they're not taking it all the way to the house. So I heard he grabbed a pick off of Jake Zembeck, the freshman, and I heard the team just went nuts. So, and he's a defensive tackle, and he's a big boy. So for him to reach up into the air and grab that ball must have been pretty cool. But I've heard great things about him. Heard great things about Antoine White over there on the defensive line, and obviously I've heard great things about Garrett Sickles as well.
All right. Anything on the – have you had any exposure to the kicking game at this point? Because I don't quite know what – you know, how much you get to see or not, so.
Yeah, so they usually run a couple kicking drills right at the end of practice. We only get a few – as you know, we only get a few minutes, and then we talk to some players and coaches. But we've seen Joey Julius hit and miss a 50-yard field goal. And we've seen Tyler Davis step in there. When they were working on kick returns and punt returns, Blake Gillikin was the guy that was doing most of that in terms of working with the returners. And he looked pretty solid. I mean, it was consistent, which is funnily something that, I mean, we didn't see much consistency on the field in games last year, but we didn't even see much consistency in practice when we were witness to very few reps last season, even in our limited time at practice. So the fact that there's more consistency there with some of these younger guys, and with Tyler as well. I think he's come a long way. I think that says a lot, even though we aren't seeing everything that they could contribute.
Every place does it differently in terms of media access. What was it like at Arizona State?
Oh, it's interesting out there, because my first year covering the team was Todd Graham's first year out there as well. And so he was kind of feeling out the media and kind of figuring out what it was like. And it's Phoenix in general is a top 10 market in the country in terms of TV stations, radio stations, and news outlets. And so it brought in a whole mess of people every practice, from the gamut of any type of media outlet, blogs and radio affiliates and TV stations and writers and traditional newspaper people. And so it was interesting because there were a lot of people to manage, but they brought out what they would do is at practice, most of practice, it was open, other than certain formations and certain things. And then when they were practicing for postseason, not every practice was open. And if they were preparing for when they went to the conference championship game against Stanford, those practices were closed, except for at the very end. But much of the practice is open, and then there's guidelines on what not you can't share and what you can share, just as there are at every program in the country. And then at the end, there's a whole team of sports information directors that they would bring out. And at the end, and one of them would go around with a list and ask each media member who they wanted to talk to. More like 90% of them are approved. And at the end, you just walk up to the player as they're coming off the field. And sometimes they'll advise you to just grab them by the shoulder pads and say, "Hey man, we need to talk to you." And usually the players would agree, and that was basically how it was. It was pretty, as you might imagine, out west, it was pretty laid back. But right. Not like that everywhere, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, every place does it differently. That was
absolutely
my point. When you look at the early schedule for Penn State, let's take the opening month, which is 3 non-conference games and then the conference opener with Michigan. What are your thoughts on this opening stretch?
Well, as a reporter, I'm excited because we're going to be covering some pretty interesting matchups and some pretty fun games. As kind of someone to provide analysis about this, I think that it's a crucial time. Honestly, this first game will be crucial for just certain pieces to click into place, but also to be careful to not show too much of what this offense could provide. To show just enough to be dominant, but to not show everything and all give all the tricks away and all of that. And obviously the Pitt matchup is just something that's been just so anticipated by all these fans, and it's going to be really exciting. And that will be, I think, that will be the true test of you'll see what this 2016 Penn State team is made of. And then the Temple is the retribution game. So each one has this crazy theme that, to me, it's just fantastic as a reporter to get to go cover those things. But as a team, every single, they always say, think about it week to week. And in this week, we're thinking as if it's week one, even if it's the sixth game of the season. Well, this year, they really have to embody that mentality. Normally, that's just coach speak. But this year, they really, really have to embody that mentality because there is so much on the line for each of these latter three games in the four game schedule, Pitt, Temple, and Michigan. There's so much on the line in terms of what this team will be made of this year. So I think they're absolutely crucial.
Have you done any research into the Pitt series? Have you talked to anyone that covered it, like, say, maybe a Ron Bracken? Have you? I'm certain, people that were around it in its heyday, have you talked to anybody about that, so that you get a feel for it, or would you just rather experience it out of the gate yourself?
So it's a little bit of both. I've definitely done the reading and all of the, heard definitely. I live in State College, so, you walk down the street and you hear somebody that's got a story about something from back when that was just such a heated rivalry. And I'm really excited because we have people that, reach out and send emails and letters and everything kind of illustrating what it was like just because they feel like it. And I think that's been a really great learning experience for me to kind of hear about this rivalry. It's a special one, that's for sure. But I also, it's a new age of the rivalry too, or quote unquote rivalry. I know that neither team likes to admit that it's a rivalry, but it's a new age for it. And I'm really excited to experience what that might look like. But yeah, if anyone has literature or different stories, definitely send them over to me because I love reading about all of it.
Arizona State and Arizona were always in the same conference. They were in the WAC together. Mm-hmm. Then they eventually moved to the what then went from the Pac-8 to the Pac-10 together. And mm-hmm. Arizona, from Lute Olson on, was always better in basketball, and Arizona State usually was better in football. Not always.
Mm-hmm.
What was that rivalry like to experience between Phoenix and Tucson?
Well, it's interesting because it's about the same distance as Pitt is from Penn State. And so that it has been interesting for me to experience here because it's a similar type of aggressive tension because they're so close in proximity.
Right.
So it's aggressive tension is what I would call it. And now with the rise of social media, oh my goodness. I can't share some of the things that I've seen between the two schools, but it's been incredibly heated. And I think bringing two guys over with the unique personalities that they have, Rich Rodriguez over at Arizona and Todd Graham at Arizona State, it's some very unique personalities and incredibly different philosophies in terms of the players that they are bringing in and building up. Todd Graham kind of favors the junior college guys. Rich Rod really likes his, you know, Scooby Wright types, the guys who are real scrappy but maybe weren't rated as high out of high school. And so it's been really interesting to watch because those fan bases, it's brutal. Like, I went to Arizona State, and I never really was the type to, you know, talk smack or anything like that. But it gets brutal sometimes. You know, they'll sneak on each other's campuses and vandalize things, and people have to guard this big mountain where the Arizona State logo is because uh-huh. the Wildcat people come and try to deface it every year, and it's angry. It's mean. Some rivalries are kind of playful, but I would liken Penn State to that of Arizona, and Arizona State is where you see some of these things that people are saying, and it's brutal. I can't even believe it sometimes. It's brutal.
Sometimes you laugh and sometimes you shake your head. So, Jordan, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Jordan Rodriguez, Center Daily Times. Talk about one of the rising stars, by the way, in sports writing. She's one of them. She was out at Arizona State for a while, covered the Pac-12, came in here, and she's really earned a lot of respect from a lot of people in a short period of time. She's very, very good at what she does. Very good writer with very good perspective and ask good questions at press conferences. Jordan Rodriguez, Center Daily Times. Coming up in the next half hour, Tony Knopp, CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. Then in the next hour, Jack Hamm will join us. Jack will join us to talk about the upcoming Penn State football season and his perspective as to what he has seen in practice over the last 3 weeks or so. He has been to a lot of practices. I've seen every practice. Maybe I missed a walkthrough. I might have missed a walkthrough, but that's been it. And Jack has seen every practice. Not everybody. He's probably seen a third to maybe half of them. So we'll get his perspective on that and more in the next hour at 4:06. Frank Bodandy, York Daily Record, in the final half hour of the show today. Talk about outstanding beat writers. Mentioned Jordan. Frank is absolutely in that category as well. Great respect for Frank. Coming up, bottom of the hour news. And then Tony Knopp, CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on today's show, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Well, you need personal insurance. I don't care if it's commercial, business, that wide range of services. They will find you the right insurance that fits your needs. They will find you the best price. And if something ever happens, you need to make a claim, they go to work right away for you. Customer service is the name of the game. You want to go to an outstanding, personalized insurance agency. That is Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. You need to have a great relationship with your insurance agent. These are the people to go to. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia Roots 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for this day in sports history. Just a couple of items. In 1921, the owner of the Acme Packing Company bought a pro football team for Green Bay, Wisconsin. J.E. Clair paid tribute to those who worked in his plant by naming the team the Green Bay Packers. In fact, they still sell stock today. They have their stockholders meetings. My friend Ed Russell, his wife Mickey, happen to be a shareholder, live here in State College. Mickey grew up in Green Bay, as a matter of fact. Her parents went to the first Super Bowl, in fact. 1986, Nolan Ryan, while with the Houston Astros, earned his 250th career win against the Chicago Cubs. That's this day in sports history. Time now to bring in Tony Knopf, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. Next half hour, Jack Ham joins us on the show. Tony, 8 days out from the Olympics, with your people, corporate partners, and so forth, were they considered to be a success?
No. So here's the take on the Olympics. We've been asked it a lot, and we're seeing it on the ground down there. We have a lot of staff on the ground. So we're very involved with the Olympics. We do all of the ticketing, all the hospitality for the USOC, for NBC Universal, for all the major players down there. So we see it. If you're saying, is this Olympics successful in comparison to a normal Olympics game that maybe doesn't have a lot of hype? I guess maybe it's okay. If you're comparing it to Sydney or Athens or something like that, but if you're comparing it to what we were talking about, 6 to 8 months ago, that could this be the savior of the international event, right? The answer to the corruption that was Sochi and Qatar, the answer to the unknown and poor time slots that were, Beijing and soon to be Korea, then, by those views, it is a titanic failure.
Yeah.
It's just not. It's an okay Olympics that's doing okay. But it should be a lot better.
Right. It should be. It should have been a highly successful one, considering time zone. Do the corporate people, not just in buying tickets, but also in sponsorship, when you see NBC packaging gymnastics instead of airing it live, does that cause a concern among people who pay money?
Yeah, it does. So here's what's happened kind of behind the scenes that's hurting everybody. The really fascinating thing has been the lack of attendance, right? People aren't going to the event.
I'll tell you right
even
now,
though they have tickets.
Tony, I've looked at the overheads of the track. There's nobody there.
There's nobody there. And everybody wonders why. They say, is the event a flop? Is it this and that? Well, what happened was Rio pre-negotiated all of their sales channels where they were going to distribute the tickets to 2.5 years ago when the Brazilian real was strong. And it's completely bottomed out now, yet they're still demanding that ticket price, which is a 65% increase. So you have all these resellers, all these companies that the IOC gives tickets to sell, all of the countries, the national organizing committees, and they're all just sitting on thousands and thousands of tickets. So our guys who are down there right now are going to whatever events they want, and they're sitting in the front row. They're front row center for the Beach Olympics semifinal yesterday with Kerry Walsh and the Brazilians. And it's because there's been a systemic meltdown. And so back to the sponsors, the sponsors are starting to say, well, wait a second. You were bragging about how you had more sponsors than any Olympic Games ever, and now people aren't showing up, and you're blaming the sponsors. Right? You can't have it both ways.
No, you can't.
So, no, it's been a mess. If you look at the pictures from people who are down there, we're talking, Duel in the Pool, Phelps Lochte, Castle.
Wow. Now, the fact that they're in an area where it's a high crime area, and you and I both know that there's, it doesn't take much to figure out that there's also near some venues, heavy sex trade area down there as well.
Big time, yeah.
And it's a lot of people don't realize how bad and how close it is to the venues that it's happening.
Oh, yeah. It's very prevalent down there.
Is that playing a partial role in all of this?
No, not really. I mean, what's playing a bigger role in all this is, you know, the ridiculous Zika scare was part of it, but a lot of these people just don't know what to do with the new technology and with the new order of things, right? When we're talking about, you know, ratings, you know, so if you're a sponsor and you're looking at this and you're saying, look, I want to activate around the events, I want people down there, I want them to be able to go to events that are great, and I want them to see my brand. NBC themselves, who I think is doing better than anybody could,
doesn't know
what to do about the digital ratings. Right? Like, okay, so TV ratings are down, but people are watching it on the app, and we have no idea to know what that looks like when we're comparing it to Nielsen, right? We have no idea if that's effective or not. And then as far as, you know, the people that are attending the games and not, they don't know if it's the right people attending or not. I mean, if it's sponsor tickets that aren't getting used, I guess that's not really the end of the world compared to whether the fans are going or not. But the problem we're really seeing down there is, you know, people want to go to the events, right? If you go to any of those half-full events, if you go outside, there's lines of people looking to get in.
Right.
They just can't. Tickets are gone, and nobody knows where they are. Well, we know where they are. They're sitting with the organizing committees and the resellers.
Right, exactly. All right, what do you see for the future? Because it's going to be South Korea in 18, then Tokyo, Tokyo for the Summer Games in 20, and 22 Beijing. So the whole thing's going to be on tape anyway. In terms of the television part, but what about the future of the Olympics? And you're in Los Angeles. Why are they bidding?
I think if you look back on the history of the Olympics, you'll see that this happened before, that there was a big drop in interest in the Olympics, and there was a big drop in the ability for the Olympics to be a financial boom that it was. But whenever they do choose a city that common sense would deem is successful and able to do this, like London or Vancouver, they do fantastically. I think the future of the Olympic Games is going to decide on who they choose for 2024. I think Tokyo will be relatively successful, but I think 2024 is what's really going to, it's really going to decide what happens with the future, right? Rome could be great. You know, obviously I'm biased. I think LA is, you know, because of what they did in 1984, the way they changed the Olympics is very well set up for this. I just don't know about how they're going to capitalize on creating new viewers and creating that next generation of viewers when, you know, it's a 14-hour time difference from your largest market by a mile. It's almost like you have the IOC and FIFA who are saying, look, we're tired of American ignorance, so we're going to, or American arrogance, so we're going to start, you know, awarding World Cups and Olympics to strange places like Qatar and, you know, over to Asia. And then they're going to come back and cry when their bread's not getting buttered anymore by the money that's in North America.
Well, the bottom line is this will be the last live Olympics for 8 years. So that's a that's a generation of fans that won't see the Olympics live.
Significant change. And they don't know how that's going to affect, you know, viewing habits for the Olympic Games. They don't know what it's going to do to the next generation of fans as you're rolling over people, right? We don't have those, you know, there was an article on Sunday about how Usain Bolt retiring is going to align with the end of the live Olympics, just because of the circumstance that we're seeing. So, you know, the problem with the Olympic Games, the biggest problem the Olympics have is you have the IOC, you know, as corrupt as they get, just like everybody else that has international events. But then they rely on these teams that are only put together for a short period of time and then have no responsibility for the games once they're over, right? Once Rio's over, we're going to read all about the corruption and crime and empty venues and how things weren't done right. They just sweep it under the table for a couple of weeks. Same thing happened in Beijing. Same thing happens, you know, in Sochi, all of those venues.
Right, exactly. The NFL season's about to come up. That means Los Angeles gets back into the ball game. They had their first preseason game with Dallas. So what's the sense there? When do they have to win? Year four, five?
They achieved their first goal by painting the field appropriately so they could play football. So at least they got that going for us.
They painted the field. I love that.
Yeah. They didn't have to miss a game and not refund people their travel plans.
Right.
You know, it's LA's a winner's town across the board, more so than anybody could imagine. That's not from here. I'm not from Los Angeles, for those listening. I'm from Northern California, so it took me a while to get used to it. I think they're going to be new for the next 18 months, and they need to be winning when they open the stadium. I think they're going to try to follow that same pattern that the Cleveland Indians did so successfully, right? When you open, you guys were talking about the Phillies farm system, right?
Right.
If you look at the farm system of the Indians, they timed that perfectly with the opening of Jacobs Field. And we've seen a lot of teams try to do that, right? The Cincinnati Reds tried that, didn't really work out, right?
Right.
The Brooklyn Nets tried that, didn't really work out. We're going to watch that happen again with the Rams, right? They're going to try to build the team to win around Jared Goff for when they build, when they open that new stadium. Because, you know, what people may not know out there is, you know, selling out the Coliseum right now when there's no PSL, there's no personal seat license, right, which is what teams do to guarantee the seat. And when there's no, you know, premium, that's not hard to do. But when it's 2 years from now, 3 years from now, and you're moving people over to a ticket that's 10 times as expensive, that's going to be a problem. And let me give you a little insider story. So I have a friend who runs the stuff over there for the Rams. They were going to hire half salespeople, half services people. Mm-hmm. They had a staff of 24 they were hiring for. Right. They sold out the season tickets so fast, they hired 24 service people. Because now they're trying to create that relationship with the fans so that when the PSL shows up in 2 years, they want to keep coming.
Right, exactly. I read an article in the San Diego Times-Union about 10 days ago where they did a poll of people from San Diego about the Chargers and a new stadium. Mm-hmm. And it was not exactly encouraging for the November ballot. what's your take on where, you know, they got the 110,000 signatures. That's fine. They're on the ballot. What are the odds that it loses?
I think pretty good. Here's the problem with San Diego. So people from outside of California look at San Diego and think that, you know, it's a bunch of hippies that are going to fall into the ocean like the rest of California is. But San Diego's not. San Diego is very prevalent military. Yeah. There are, you know, multiple Marine bases and naval bases down there. Yep. It's very, very strong. It's a very, very red area, which surprises most everybody who's not from California.
Right.
My uncle Tom was a lifer
in the military, and he ended up living in San Diego when he retired.
So, they all do. Yep. Yeah, they all do. From San Diego all the way up to San Onofre, it's very strong military and influence. And so they generally don't vote for, you know, infrastructure. And then that goes beyond sports. That's just a, you know, political beliefs that they have. And so I would not, I mean, when they got Petco Park through, that was a shocker to everybody. Nobody believed that was ever going to happen. And Petco's been okay, but it hasn't been a raging success for them. So I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't go through. And then we see the Chargers in Los Angeles and the Raiders in Vegas or San Antonio.
I mean, that really struck me. I mean, because they're talking about a hotel tax, and I think going from 12% to 16% or something like that.
Right.
Well, if you're a voter, it doesn't affect you. And let's face it, you and I travel, Tony. When's the last time you and I looked at the bill and said, well, how much did I pay in tax?
Yeah. Well, the problem the hotels are running into is the Airbnb influence now, because their Airbnb is not paying a hotel tax. And so, like, San Francisco, for example, is trying to pass a rental tax, like a short-term rental tax.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if San Diego tries to do something like that, but it's going to be too late for November. So I don't know. I don't think it's going to pass. I think there's too much apathy around the Chargers in San Diego. Yeah. But I hope that's not the case. It'd be nice for them to keep their team. It's a great city.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it'd be great for them to keep the team and the whole deal. In fact, in that same poll, they actually felt better about staying out at Mission Valley in the poll than they are to building it downtown.
That makes sense to me.
Here's the one area where it does make sense to me, Tony. Okay, and this is something that isn't really talked a lot about. But I mean, you've been there and I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this: the parking situation at that stadium is outstanding.
Yeah, it really is. And, it really is not difficult to get in and out.
Well, no. I mean, and it's outstanding. Downtown, it wouldn't be.
No, it'd be terrible. Getting in and out of Petco Park is tough. You have to take public transportation, and it's not well built out. Right, the only place on the West Coast, you know, that has nailed public transportation in San Francisco.
Right.
I mean, every other city is a disaster. It's an unmitigated disaster to get in and out of sports events.
BART is great. I mean, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
BART is great.
And then they've got that nailed, the Caltrain nailed, but nobody else does. And so if they try to put that downtown, they're going to try to rely on that. They have some public transportation there that goes into the Mission Valley, but nobody rides it. Everybody thought they were going to use it for Petco Park, and they don't. But, I mean, it's just the power of the NFL, right? And I think, with the NFL on the high they are right now, they need to make a move, right? Yeah. If they're going to start moving teams, it's got to happen in the next 2 to 3 years. The economy's booming. Pockets are deep. Cities are ready to do this. San Antonio's lined up and ready. Vegas is lined up and ready. It's time to make the move.
All right. 18 months now out, and you're already tracking these trends. So what's hot and what is not?
You know, it's been really fascinating. Some of the things that people thought were going to be hot are not. E-gaming is still a hot entity when it comes to the younger demographic, but they're not watching it on TV and they're not digesting it through other channels, right? So they're not doing it digitally either. Everybody thought this was something that was going to press some of the other events. You know, what people are worried about right now, they're worried about the NBA and the possibility of a lockout.
Yep.
It's a very, very real possibility. You know, Kevin Durant making the move he did only makes that stronger, that you're going to have smaller market owners that are going to say, forget it, let's lock it out again because we didn't figure that this is going to give people the freedom to do what they're doing. And then the NFL will continue to be strong. You know, the Super Bowl this year in Houston is not the greatest,
no,
you know, destination. But like the Olympic Games, they're kind of starting to figure out that you do a not great destination followed by a, you know, maybe not so great one and then a great one. So that's what we're really starting to see from people. But when it comes to international events right now, there's just no appetite for Tokyo, for Pyongyang, or for the World Cup, right? People are starting to transfer towards the EPL and towards, you know, the Champions League. And what we may see there is an eventual break of those businesses from FIFA. They're making more money.
Oh, Premier League is on an absolute roll. That's why they can pay out what they do in transfer fees and salaries.
Oh, yeah. And it's a matter of time. I mean, right now they're kind of beholden to FIFA and to the Champions League. But the reality is, you know, La Liga in Spain and Serie A, La Liga, League One in France and the English Premier League are getting so powerful. It's almost like what we're seeing in college where some of the conferences are so strong, they're starting to make rules, right? They're the ones who are saying, well, maybe we're not going to play in this anymore. We're going to do things our way.
And, you know, and here MLS has been getting stronger despite the fact it's not really a great product, and you and I both know it's not a great product, but it's still getting stronger.
Everybody loves it. If I could short Major League Baseball and go long on the MLS, I'd do it in the New York Minute. MLS and basketball have it figured out. They're growing fantastically. There's some markets that are hurting a little bit in basketball, but they're figuring out how to spread the love from the other markets that are thriving, and the MLS is just taking off.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the NFL, where are the fans going to go? They're going to go to the MLS. I know everybody likes to shake their head and say, you could get off my lawn, it's not going to happen. But man, if you watch the trends with the youngsters, it's already happening.
Tony, it's always a pleasure. This is always one of the better half hours of any month that we have. Thanks so much for carving out time, as always.
Absolutely. And we'll see you guys soon this season. We partnered with Learfield, and we are now a sponsor of Nittany Lions football.
So beautiful.
I will be out that direction.
Ah, fabulous. Well, that's great. I can't wait to see you then. All right? Can't wait to see you. That'll be a lot of fun, a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk soon.
Tony Knopp, CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. And coming up in the next half hour, Jack Ham will join us to talk about Penn State football. Final half hour, Frank Podany, York Daily Record. We're going to keep with the Olympic theme just a bit and just stretch it out a little bit further with Otto Bolton, who's going to join us on the show Wednesday. I know that the Olympics are now 8 days out. When Otto's on the show, he will be 10 days out. But when you get an opportunity to get somebody like that on the show, and Sean worked very hard to make it happen, I mean, 10 days out, to, especially with a guy who received universal praise, and we'll certainly praise him for the outstanding job he did as an analyst in track and field working with the great pro Tom Hammond. Otto Bolton is going to join us on the show Wednesday. Looking forward to having him on the show very much. All right, next half hour, Jack Ham will break down what the two of us have seen in preseason camp. Team has the day off today, by the way. They are now into a game week routine. What James Franklin does is he practices, does a walkthrough on Sunday. The team gets Monday off, and then tomorrow, heavy-duty work, more work on Wednesday, but not as heavy as Tuesday. And obviously Thursday is, okay, let's clean up anything and make sure we're sharp and ready for the game, then a quick walkthrough on Friday. But this is the off day for the players every Monday, so no practice today. And then Frank Podany, York Daily Record, is going to join us in the final half hour of the show. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, it's 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.